Okay, so have you ever played that game? You know that one where like you whisper something to someone and then they whisper it to the next person and it totally changes by the end?
Yeah, like telephone.
Exactly. Funny with friends, but imagine that happening with like vital patient information in a hospital. That's a recipe for disaster, right?
Absolutely. The stakes are way higher in healthcare. Clear communication between nurses and doctors, it's crucial. Literally life or death sometimes.
No kidding. So that's what makes these nursing student materials you send over so fascinating. We're diving deep today into communication.student.pdf.
It's all about making sure those messages don't get lost in translation, which is harder than it sounds.
Right, because in healthcare communication, it's not just about the words themselves, it's
It's about precision, empathy, really understanding the weight of those words.
exactly. And this communication.student.pdf highlights a method, SBAR. Sounds kind of technical, but you were saying it's actually super practical.
It is. SBAR, it stands for Situation, Background, Assessment, Recommendation. It's a framework, helps nurses give critical info to doctors clearly, especially when things are hectic.
So it's like when every second counts, you don't want to be searching for the right words. This keeps everyone on the same page.
Precisely. Think of it as a mental checklist, making sure nothing gets missed.
Okay, so how would this actually work, like in a real hospital scenario? Give me an example.
Sure. Say a nurse needs to update a doctor about a patient. Instead of rambling, they'd start with situation. Mrs. Smith in room 302, her blood pressure just spiked. Straight to the point.
Got it. So no time wasted, immediate clarity. But what about the patient's history? That's important, right?
Absolutely. And that's where background comes in. The nurse would add, she had a minor procedure yesterday, history of hypertension, but this is higher than we've seen. Now the doctor understands the context.
Okay, it's like building a case file, but in real time. So before even seeing Mrs. Smith, the doctor has some info. What about the assessment part?
That's where the nurse's expertise is key. They'd say something like, "Her heart rate's also up. She's got a bad headache. I'm worried it could be something more serious."
So they're connecting the dots, using their training to give the doctor a heads up. Okay, I'm seeing how this SBR thing comes together. What about recommendation? What would that sound like? So the nurse is basically advocating for the patient here, right? Laying out the next steps.
Exactly. They might say, "I recommend a stat EKG, and I think you should see Mrs. Smith ASAP." See how SBR provides a clear path, even under pressure.
Yeah, it's like a safety net, so nothing important slips through the cracks. And what's interesting is you could use SBAR in other areas, not just healthcare. Clearly defining a problem, giving background, your assessment, and a solution that's valuable anywhere.
Absolutely. It's bigger than just one profession. It's about communicating clearly. But words are only part of it, right? How we say them matters too. This communication.student.pdf also talks about nonverbal communication, and that's huge.
It's like they say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. But in healthcare, those nonverbal cues, they could make or break a patient's trust.
For sure. Imagine a doctor explaining a diagnosis, even with kind words like a furrowed brow or a rushed tone. It can accidentally undermine the message. Patients pick up on that stuff, especially when they're vulnerable.
Right, so even if the doctor's saying everything will be okay, but they're not making eye contact, the patient might not believe it. Are there any like specific techniques mentioned to get better at this whole nonverbal thing?
One of the biggest is active listening. And I don't mean just hearing the words. It's about being present, paying attention to their body language, their tone, everything. Like if a nurse is talking to a patient, actually making eye contact, nodding, maybe even jotting down a note, that patient feels heard.
It's amazing how much those little things can communicate. Like you're saying, I'm here with you, tell me everything. What other nonverbal cues should we be watching out for?
Body language is huge. Open postures like uncrossed arms, leaning in a bit, those show you're engaged.
Yeah.
But then closed off postures, cross arms, turning away, those can seem like you're not interested, even if you don't mean it.
So even just like subtly mirroring the patient's posture, if it's appropriate, that could help build that connection. What about tone of voice, facial expressions, that kind of thing?
Oh, they're super important. A calm, reassuring tone can really de-escalate things, while a sharp or dismissive tone can make things worse. Same with facial expressions. A warm smile shows empathy, but a blank or impatient look that makes the patient feel ignored.
It's true. Our faces kind of betray our feelings sometimes, even if we don't want them to. And in a high-pressure place like a hospital, those little unspoken messages, they have a big impact. But there's more to it, right? building that relationship between a nurse and a patient, this helping relationship, like the communication.student.pdf calls it.
Yeah, it goes beyond just exchanging medical facts. It's about that safe space, that feeling of support, where patients feel okay opening up about their fears.
It's like when you're talking to a close friend, there's this trust where you can be vulnerable. How do you create that in a hospital, especially when time is usually limited?
That's where all these things we've been talking about come in. Active listening, empathy, watching your body language, they all build rapport. But this communication.student.pdf takes it a step further with this thing called therapeutic communication.
Therapeutic communication?
Yeah.
That sounds intense, like something you'd hear in, well, therapy, not necessarily a hospital room.
It's basically using communication with the goal of healing and well-being in mind. It involves specific techniques, things like asking open-ended questions, reflecting back their emotions, even strategic silence.
Silence? Okay, I wouldn't have thought of that, but it makes sense. Sometimes just giving someone space to think, to process that can be really powerful. It's like saying, take your time, I'm here for you. But what does that actually look like in a hospital? Can you give me an example?
Picture this. A patient gets tough news, a difficult diagnosis, and they're totally overwhelmed. Instead of jumping right into treatment options, a nurse, using this therapeutic communication, might say, this is a lot to take in. Take your time. How are you feeling right now?
Wow. That just acknowledges the weight of what they're going through. It lets them just be in that moment. It's not about rushing to fix it. It's about being present. I'm starting to get how all these communication pieces fit together. The clear structure of SBR, the empathy of nonverbal cues, and then these deeper techniques. It's like they build on each other. But let's be real. Even with the best skills, misunderstandings still happen.
Right. First, we're human. Communication's a two-way street. And like we've been saying, it's complex. There are so many factors.
Right. And that's where the potential for things to go wrong comes in. And I bet those communication breakdowns, they're even harder in a high-stress environment like healthcare.
You're telling me. And that's where we go from, like, the ideal to the messier reality of communication when things get tough. Chapter 8, terms.pdf, gets into some of these potential roadblocks.
Okay, so moving beyond the what of communication to the how, like how do you deal when things get bumpy? What kind of challenges are we talking about here?
One that jumped out at me was this term, horizontal violence. It's basically when coworkers, especially at the same level, are hostile or aggressive towards each other. It could be bullying, gossiping, even sabotaging each other's work.
Horizontal violence, that sounds intense.
It is. And it can create a super toxic environment.
Yeah, and I bet it's not just in healthcare. It probably happens in all kinds of workplaces.
You're right. And the scary thing is it affects patient care, too. When colleagues can't communicate, it impacts morale, teamwork, and that's a safety issue. And it's not always just between coworkers at the same level.
You're saying it's not just horizontal. There are also those power dynamics at play, like between a nurse and a doctor.
Exactly. The source talks about how tough it can be to communicate effectively when there's a power difference. Like, imagine a new nurse who needs to advocate for a patient to a senior doctor.
It's intimidating, kind of like having to pitch an idea to your boss. Even if everyone's nice, there's still that power dynamic.
Exactly. That's why the source talks about assertive communication. It's about finding that sweet spot between respecting authority and sticking up for your patients.
So not being a pushover, but not being aggressive either. Clear, confident, but respectful.
Right. Using I statements, stating your concerns directly, and having evidence to back it up, all while staying calm and professional.
Owning your expertise, but knowing how to navigate the hierarchy. But what about when it feels like communication is just impossible? Like someone's really angry, agitated, or just doesn't want to have a productive conversation. What do you do then?
Those are tough situations, but the materials had some good advice. One thing is de-escalation techniques.
De-escalation, like talking someone down from a ledge, but in this case, it's a communication breakdown.
Yeah, exactly. It's about staying calm yourself, using a neutral tone, and avoiding anything that could make things worse.
So even if they're yelling, you don't yell back. Stay calm, even if it's hard.
Right. Be the calm in the storm. Sometimes it means taking a step back, acknowledging their feelings, and saying something like, hey, I see you're upset, let's take a breath, then we can figure this out together.
Shifting from confrontation to teamwork, it seems like being self-aware is huge here, right? Realizing how your own emotions and biases might be playing into it.
Totally. And that makes me think of another point from the materials. Cultural sensitivity. We live in a diverse world. Healthcare is no different.
It's like that saying, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. Someone's cultural background, it shapes how they communicate, how they see healthcare.
Exactly. What's normal in one culture could be rude in another.
It makes me think about those nonverbal cues again. A gesture that's fine in one place could be really offensive somewhere else. We have to keep learning and adapting to be respectful of those differences.
And that's where cultural competence training comes in, not just for healthcare, but for everyone.
So it's not about memorizing a bunch of rules. It's more like being curious about other cultures, wanting to learn. It's realizing that our own background shapes how we see things and being open to other perspectives.
Perfectly said. Effective communication isn't one size fits all. It's about adapting to the person and the situation.
Sounds like it's a lifelong journey of learning and unlearning, especially in healthcare. But with all this talk about potential problems and things going wrong, I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed. How are we supposed to handle all this, especially in the heat of the moment?
It's normal to feel that way, especially when we're really digging into something as complex as communication. But the good news is, even small changes can make a big difference.
So we don't have to become like communication experts overnight.
Nope. Pick one or two things that resonate with you and start there. Maybe it's being more aware of your body language or practicing active listening or trying those I statements or being mindful of power dynamics.
Focus on one thing, get good at it, and build from there, like working out, but for your communication skills.
I like that. And just like building muscle takes time, so does improving communication.
And like going to the gym, you got to be consistent, make it a habit. But unlike the gym, we can practice communication all day every time we talk to someone.
You're right. And even better, when we do mess up, those become learning moments.
Yeah, it's about reframing those oops moments and thinking, okay, what could I have done differently there? Approaching communication with curiosity, willing to make mistakes and learn from them.
You got it. Embrace the journey. Nobody's perfect at this. But we can always get better.
And that's something everyone can use in their work life, personal life, everywhere.
Absolutely. Good communication, it's the foundation for strong relationships, doing well at work, and just living a more fulfilling life.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Every conversation, every interaction, it's a chance to connect, to learn, to grow as a person. And on that note, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be diving into some practical ways to handle those communication breakdowns and turn those oops moments into opportunities for growth. All right, so we've talked about being self-aware, understanding different cultures, and even how to like de-escalate things when they get heated. But are there any other strategies from these materials that can help us when communication goes off the rails?
You know, one that really stuck with me is this idea of framing. Basically, it's about being intentional with the language we use because it influences how people see a situation.
So it's like the same picture, but you can change the frame around it and it gives a totally different feeling.
Exactly. Instead of saying you're wrong, which just makes people defensive, you could say, I understand where you're coming from, but I see it a little differently. It's about finding common ground instead of creating conflict.
Right. It's like that saying, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Except in this case, we're trying to catch understanding, not flies.
Exactly. And sometimes framing means taking a step back and trying to see things through the other person's eyes. Like, why might they be communicating this way?
Maybe they're just having a bad day or they're stressed out. That stuff definitely affects how we talk to people, even if we don't realize it.
Absolutely. And just knowing that can change how we approach the situation. It's about having empathy, assuming the best of people.
So instead of jumping to conclusions, we give them the benefit of the doubt. Assume they're coming from a good place, even if their communication isn't great.
Right. And sometimes it might even mean having an honest conversation about communication styles, but in a respectful way.
Like saying, hey, I think we might be talking past each other. Can we take a minute to make sure we're both on the same page?
Exactly. Just being open to the possibility that you're not seeing eye to eye and being willing to work on it together.
It's like anything else. Communication takes effort. Sometimes you got to do a little maintenance to keep things running smoothly.
I love that analogy. It's an ongoing process, and it's those moments where things break down that we learn the most.
It's like you have that aha moment and realize, oh, I could have handled that so much better. Tough to admit, but those are usually the best lessons.
They really are. That's where self-reflection is so important. Taking a few minutes to think after a tough conversation with anyone, it can teach you so much.
It's like rewinding the tape and asking, what went well? What could have been better? What would I do differently next time?
Exactly. And those little tweaks, over time, they make a big difference. Mm. You get better at communicating, and your relationships get stronger.
Wow, this whole deep dive has been incredible. We've covered so much, from that SBIR method to body language, therapeutic communication, and even how to deal with those inevitable communication breakdowns.
It's been great. We
Good.
often take communication for granted, but it's so important, not just in healthcare, but in life.
Absolutely. So as we wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with this. Communication is a skill. And like any skill, you can learn it, you can practice it, and you can master it.
It's a journey. And the most important thing is being open to learning, growing, and connecting with others in a genuine way.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Every conversation, it's an opportunity to connect, to learn, and to grow. To our listeners, next time you're facing a communication challenge, remember what we talked about today. Take a deep breath, remember empathy, and know that even those oops moments, they're just chances to learn and grow. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the incredible world of communication.